Join me in our call to Advent. O come, O God, during this season of Advent, our hearts echo the church's plea, come, Lord Jesus.
Come into this day too soon, hours too hurried to be our peace. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come into this troubled and hurting world and be our hope. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come into this season of life and be our source through life. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come into this time of celebration and be our joy. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come into our lives and be life for us, now and forever.
Come and be Emmanuel, God with us.
Come, Lord Jesus. Come.
Let's sing together. God, we come before you in this Advent season to be reminded that the very purpose of this season is to prepare our hearts to celebrate your birth. It is not always easy for us to do that. There are so many struggles and trials, so much nervousness that comes about, so much stress and preparing for the other things that Christmas has come to mean that we forget that the Advent season is supposed to be a time when we are focusing our hearts and mind on you, that we are remembering the hope of this season, that we are remembering the love of this season, that we are remembering the joy of this season, that we are remembering the peace that is to come to the souls of people in this season. It seems we have turned this season into anything but a peaceful experience. But I pray, oh God, as we gather in this place tonight, that we will focus our hearts and our minds on you, and that we will prepare our hearts well for what this season is truly to be. For there is much that we can experience as we come to this time of year. It is the most colorful time of year. It is the most beautiful season of all. It is a time when we get to remember that your ways are not our ways, that you chose to save the world with a baby born in a manger in a town that no one thought about until that baby was born. And that you chose to announce that to smelly shepherds. They were the first to hear of the joy of the world. Help us to prepare our hearts to receive all of those gifts during this time, Lord. Make us people who want to unite with you in every way that we can. Make us mindful that your ways are not our ways. And that if we will walk in your way, and if we will follow your steps, and if we will go where you will have us go and be what you would have us be, the world will become better and our lives will become better. Make us mindful of every gift that this season can bring to us. And help us, Lord, to prepare our hearts well for you. For you are the one who dreams dreams for our lives that are more than we could ever imagine. And you are the one who hopes that we will live our lives as a Christmas people, not just during this season, but in every season we are given in life. Make this season a time of true preparation for us, that we might worship you well and that we might serve you better than we ever have before. Hear our prayer today, O Lord, for it's in your name we offer it. Amen. Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned, and they will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his government and its peace will never end. And from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of the kingdom of David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Of course, from their vantage point, it was also seen as a whole. There was no did say God just blessed the United States of America. He didn't say just bless the Christians or just bless some particular race or some ethnic group. He said God bless all of you on the earth. Well, this is the message of Christmas. When the angel came and announced the birth of Christ to the shepherds that night outside Bethlehem, he told them that he brought great tidings, or good tidings of great joy for all people. God came to bless everyone on the good earth. He didn't come to just bless a particular race of people, a particular country, or people who held a particular station in life. When God sent his son that first Christmas, he sent him in order to be the Savior of the whole world. Love came down. In the familiar words of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves the world. That means everyone. And that's good news. Our Creator, the Creator of this vast universe, cares deeply about us. God loves us. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 8. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed their splendor above the heavens. And when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou dost take thought of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him a little lower than God, and dost crown him with glory and with majesty. You've made him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, and sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes through the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God created not only this good earth and all that is in it, but he's also the creator of the vast universe. But you know what is even more awesome than even the magnitude of the universe? It's the fact that we are the crown of God's creation, and that he loves you and me, and he cares for you and me. What's that little song that we all learned growing up? He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 Well, what kind of love is it that God has for us? Well, this love that God has for us really has little to do with the writers of popular songs who proclaim that love is just the sweetest thing in the world. The love that God has for his people, as the Bible says, is as strong as death. Many waters cannot quench it, neither can floods drown it. The love God has for his people is invincible. It is irresistible. It is a powerful force. It is a consuming fire that withstands all efforts to quench its flame. The love that God has for us is set against anything and everything that threatens it, even death. Who shall separate us from the love of God? For I'm convinced, the writer of Romans says, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor power for height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the kind of love that God has for us, and this is why he sent his son that first Christmas. So, how do we respond to that? How do we respond to that kind of love? Well, first of all, I think we have to understand We must realize that God has provided a way for us to relate to Him through faith in Christ. Then secondly, we must realize that our faith in Christ is a matter of an intimate relationship with our Creator. Our faith is not impersonal. It's not merely accepting or assenting to a system of doctrines or a code of ethics. It's a personal relationship. It's faith in a person, the person of Christ. You know, it's so easy, I think, for us to reduce our faith to just a legalistic set of rules or regulations rather than to establish and sustain a growing relationship with God. Just as Adam and Eve are called to become one flesh, that is, to grow into a more intimate relationship with one another, we're called to be in union with God through Christ. We are to fall in love with Christ. Lovesickness is what the writer of the Song of Solomon called it. We respond to God's love by falling in love with Him. We fall in love with the Creator of the universe. You know, whenever I think of falling in love with Christ, I can't help but think of Brother Lawrence, 17th century monk who lived and died in anonymity until some of his letters were published under the title The Practice of the Presence of God. And his advice to thousands of people who have read this little book of his is timeless. His only desire was to commune with God. It was said that he was found worshiping more in his kitchen than in the cathedral. He would pray, "Lord of all the pots and pans, make me a saint by getting meals and washing up the plates." Brother Lawrence claimed that the time of business does not with me differ from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in His great tranquility as if I were upon my knees at the Blessed Sacrament. Brother Lawrence had fallen in love with God. We all probably remember Jesus' visit to Mary and Martha, two sisters who lived in Bethany. I like the way John Killinger takes it. He tells it like a Christmas story. As you perhaps recall, Mary and Martha had much to do that day. They were late with their Christmas preparations. The tree was only half decorated, the gifts were unwrapped, the Christmas dinner was still in the oven, Martha was running around trying to get her Christmas card mailed, and mistletoe hung in the cookie dough cup. Now Mary, I'm sure, also had a lot to do that day. After all, she and Martha lived together. And while one was doing, the other was expected to at least help some. But as Luke tells the story, Mary takes time to be with Jesus, to sit at His feet, and to listen to Him. And when Martha comes to the door with flour on her nose, chiding Mary for not helping bake the cookies, Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, I know you have a lot to worry and a lot to fret about, and so does Mary. But Mary has chosen the one thing that is necessary, and that is to share her presence with me." She's made the wise choice. She's done the one thing needful. She's chosen the good part. How do you fall in love with God? We spend time with Him. We share our presence with Him. This is the one thing necessary during this Advent season. It's the one thing needful. It's the good part. So let me ask you, in the midst of all that there is to do during this season of the year, have you done the one thing necessary? Have you taken the time to respond to God's love? You know, if we're not careful, we can go through the whole season of Advent and Christmas and miss the whole point of why we celebrate
as you know, he created the universe, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then he made us. He said that we were just a little lower than him. He crowned us with glory and made us to rule over everything on the earth. And later he sent his son, his only son, to be born of a little girl, a virgin, in a lonely outpost in the Middle East, where he lived a sinless life. God sacrificed him by allowing him to die on the cross so that we could have a personal relationship with him, one in which he called us his beloved. His beloved. That's right. We are God's beloved. Now, I know that's sometimes difficult for some people to believe. Some people are racked by guilt and a low negative self-image because they've taken their cues and their identity from the world. That Jesus hoped never to take is normative. Jesus wants to ask, why don't you look to one another for approval instead of the approval that comes from the one God? You know, so many of us just accept a negative self-image. We must find our true self hidden with Christ in God. We should be more ready to accept God's judgment of ourselves any day over our own harsh judgment of ourselves. We should be more willing to take God's image of us any day, which is patient and merciful and full of grace. We are God's beloved. God also sees his son Jesus in us and cannot not love him. Brennan Manning was a noted Roman Catholic priest and author. He was leading a retreat for a group of nuns one weekend. He conducted a number of sessions and found them very responsive, except for this one particular sister who remained stone-faced and unmovable, contributing nothing toward any of the discussions. And at the close of the retreat, Brennan Manning asked the group, would any of you like to share something special that has happened to you this weekend? Well, amazingly, it was this withdrawn sister who spoke up. She told the group, something wonderful happened to me last night. When I went to bed, I had a dream. And in that dream, I was in a beautiful dance hall, and the women were all wearing lovely gowns, and the men were all dressed up in formal attire. And in the course of the evening, a rather interesting man came and asked me to dance with him. And as we danced together, I realized that he was Jesus. And halfway through the dance, Jesus leaned over and he whispered in my ear. You want to know what he said to me? Of course, the rest of the group was sitting on the edge of their seats by now. They could hardly wait to hear what Jesus said. And finally, the sister said, Jesus said to me, Catherine, I'm crazy about you. And then he hugged me, and the dream was over. God is crazy about us. And if there's anything we need to know and learn and accept, it's that God is crazy about us. And we need to share that message with people. thoughts. Along with my car heart, I don't know how many volumes it is, but a lot on church dogmatics. But Bart thought for a moment, and he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Can we sing that?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
That's the message. This is the good news the angel shared that night with the shepherds outside the church of Bethlehem. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people, everyone. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Love came down. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He moved into the neighborhood. He came to show us what love is, what love does. God so loved the world that he gave. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Well, would you join with me in our prayer of confession? Oh God, when we look at our lives, we must confess that we often miss the mark of Advent.
Our waiting on you is sometimes turned into a new flesh, and this last effort you are sometimes proud.
Forgive us, O God, our frantic ways, and help us to be still and to trust in you.
Bring us salvation, supply us with strength, hear our songs of gratitude, and accept our joyful praise.
O God, descend to us, we pray.
Thank you. Well, thank you for coming this evening. We're going to go down and have table fellowship with one another. Hope you'll stay for that. So I'm going to say the blessing now, okay? So you don't have to wait and then have the benediction. So Lord, thank you for this time of worship together. And we pray now that as we depart from this beautiful sanctuary, that you'll go with us as we enjoy fellowship around the tables, that we might express our love for one another, even as you love us. So bless the food to our bodies. We recognize it's a good gift from you. We pray your blessings on it. We thank you for the people that prepared it. Now arise and shine, for your light has come. Emmanuel, God is with us on every path we take, no matter where we go. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The stars still shine where Christ is present. Amen.